Title of my sermon this afternoon is A Warning from God. Wake up. A warning from God. Wake up. Hopefully everybody can see the lava light. I'm going to use that as a prop today, because I want to start off with Matthew 24, verse 12. So if you would join me there. Jesus is speaking here. This is the Olivet Prophecy. In verse 12, he says, And because iniquity, sin, in some verses it says lawlessness, shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So part of the use of the prop here is you see that the wax within the light is quite mobile movement. And it will continue to get faster and faster as it continues to heat. Just as our following God when we're called and he gives us the Holy Spirit, we're to have that zeal, we're to have that hot heat for God's word, to constantly be moving in the right direction that God is calling us in. In Matthew 24, verse 12, the word wax. In the dictionary, it says to grow or become resentful, a fit of anger. And these are things that we do not want to harbor within our heart or our mind or even our daily lives. And the word cold shows a lacking in passion or enthusiasm, a not affectionate or friendly, depressing or dispirited. Again, things that we do not want to have part of our everyday life, not only for ourselves, but for others that we come in contact with, or to be showing that type of appearance in our life. One scripture, if you hear the word cold, is you tend to maybe think of the Laodiceans, one of the seven churches that Christ is speaking about to John in Revelation. Well, let's go to Revelation 1. In Revelation 1, it talks about the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Well, in verse 10 of Revelation 1, we read where John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard behind him a great voice as of a trumpet. So we see here where John heard a voice. But if you go to verse 12, what does it say? It says, and I turned to see the voice that spoke to me. Well, you can't see a voice, but he turned. And he describes it as to see a voice. John recognized that voice. He knew it was Christ because he was with Christ here when Christ was here on the earth. So can you imagine his heart, how he felt of recognizing his Lord and his Savior talking to him? You know, those are things that we need to think about in our life, of this flowing in God's word. The same individuals whose voice John heard It's a voice that we hear as we go through God's scriptures, in our studies, in our prayers, in speaking to one another here on the Sabbath day. This is God's voice that has been written down. These words have been written down for our admonition. But scripture also tells us that sometimes we can be snoozing spiritually. We could be letting down, but not realizing it, or possibly maybe realizing it. In Revelation, God talks about not being hot or cold, not being turned on to the truth of God, not flowing continually. Let's go to Revelation 3. I'd mentioned the Church of Laodicea. In Revelation 3, starting in verse 14 through 19. Again, Christ is speaking, talking about the angel of church to Laodiceans. And he goes through talking about these things, says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. He would prefer that they were cold or hot. Choose, pick one. Don't be in between. Just as God's given all of us a choice to make in our life. Verse 16, so then, because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth, because you say, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. And know not that you are wretched, you're miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You don't have that strength of God's Spirit within you, of that following. And these letters to the churches apply to us today. How are we doing in our life? It says, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Because he says, as many as I love, I rebuke. He's pointing out the faults. Just as we should be very willing when things are pointed out to us, that we take that as a nourishment of a learning process and to take care of matters, going to God, seeking forgiveness, asking God to help us change, to be zealous, as it says here in verse 19. To be zealous, therefore, and repent. To have that flame, that fire for God's word and his way. We cannot allow ourselves to be as the Laodiceans, lukewarm. We have to be fired up. You know, Christ is saying to his church, because Laodiceans are part of his church, we are part of his church. Laodiceans were a part of the body of Christ. And he was telling them, I want you, and he's telling us. He wants us to be hot, to be effective, because they were neither one. That lovingness of God, telling his children to get on the right path, stop straying, stop being lukewarm. Let's move forward together, because we're to be zealous for God's way of life, to be moving continually in his way, just as this liquid is moving continually because of it being hot. If you would turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. Isaiah 9, verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And in my Bible, it talks about for zeal, a burning desire. A burning desire. And we should have to be like Christ and to be like our Father, a burning desire to do what he wants us to do, what is required of us, what we have accepted, that invitation that we are to move forward towards, a burning desire. Next, let's go to Zechariah chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Zechariah 8, verses 1 through 3. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts. We should be listening. He is speaking to us. We don't have to turn. Here it is. We are to focus on God's word. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus says the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. If we endure, if we persist on the right path, if we have that zealous, that hot yearning for God's word and his way of life, we will be part of that when the Lord returns to Jerusalem. We will be there. We cannot give up on that. You know, when Jesus was talking about they're lukewarm, they're neither hot nor cold, talking about that he would just spew them out. He was basically stating they were being very ineffective. They weren't living their life like they should each day. They were wasting time, losing their way by being ineffective. And this is the point that every one of us, we're disciples. We're part of the body of Christ. We ourselves should examine ourselves on just how effective we are individually and collectively. We're part of the body, and the body has to work together correctly. You know, we want to be effective as a family. So when we're here on God's Sabbath day, are we effectively communicating with one another about God and how he was part of our life, not only in the past week? You can expand from that. You know, it's up to you what you talk about. But we have to be effective. We need to be effective servants and stewards of what God has given us to do, of the work and the very life that he has given us. And he has put our hand to complete a work before us. If you would turn to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. In Proverbs 6, 9 through 10, we read, how long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will you arise out of your sleep, from your slumber? For a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. By doing this continually, you can pretty much know that bad things are a result, because nothing is getting accomplished. This individual is not very effective. And again, we must never allow ourselves to get into that kind of state of mind, to just sort of float along. You know, and Mr. Wentz, something to ponder. You know, he touches on some of this. I'm not going to go through that at this point, but revisit Mr. Wentz, something to ponder, where it shows that we could be more attentive with lovingly serving each other, stepping up, fellowshipping more. You know, you mentioned about the hall cleaning. We could be attentive to the needs of others by serving in that particular capacity. The Apostle Paul reminded the Ephesians, if you would turn to Ephesians 5:14. Our serving attitude has to be continually moving and thinking. And even suggesting where there are areas that people can serve in. The brethren, individuals, those that need things that they're not able to do themselves, at least bring it up for discussion. Reach out to others for that. Ephesians 5:14. Here we see the Apostle Paul talking about, wherefore he said, awake, you that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Again, we see where there's a tendency in the world to just be taking it in. You know, in some cases, people rely on others to do everything for them. Again, like a little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of hands. But spiritually speaking, for us, again, touching on that point of not slumbering, not letting down of where God wants us to be. Because he says, wake up. Wake up. It's a warning. It's instructions. Christ will give you light. In verse 15, it talks about, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Be very cautious on your walk. Be wise. Be observant. In verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. In the Olivet prophecy, it talks about the last days. And we see, well, today, there's a lot of evil in this world. But there is more, much more coming ahead of us. And we have to be ready. We have to be preparing. Because as we've said before, we don't know when our last breath is. It talks about the last days. Well, the last days for myself, I could walk out there and get hit by a truck. That could be my last day. You know. So I have to look at myself and go, wow, how does God see me? Have I been effective? Am I ready? If that's the last day. It crosses my mind a lot. Am I ready? You know, Christ praised the church of Ephesus for their works, for their labor, for their patience and their perseverance. You'll find that in Revelation 2, verses 1 through 3. I won't turn there. But then he warned them. You know, he was praising them. But then he gave them a warning. It says, nevertheless, in verse 4, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You left your first love. They have drawn back. They haven't had that hot, flowing, continual method in God's way. They've left their first love. But Christ told them in verse 5, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. We have to remember why God called us. Why are we here? Evaluating ourselves daily. How are we doing? How did I do? It sounds like a lot of work, but it's not. It's a loving, caring refreshment, a review. Especially if someone should bring something to our attention that they may have noticed that we weren't exactly correct during an interface or whatever, a meeting, restaurant, whatever. Our attitude, impatience, anger, not saying thank you. You know, they seem really trivial, little, but where's our love? Where's our outgoing concern for others? You know, at our calling, when God called us, do you remember experiencing a love for God's truth, an excitement of things that God was opening up to you, his truth, and we were understanding it, eagerly studying God's word, wanting to learn more? It was exciting. And I'd like for us to say, yes, we agree, it still is exciting. It's still, we don't know it all. We don't. It's still exciting. Because Christ was saying the Ephesians had begun with an excitement and a love for truth. But internal betrayal and spiritual battles, because we know we're battling spiritual battle, Satan, the devil. Spiritual battles had eroded much of their enthusiasm. Just as we read back in Matthew, in the last days, love will wax cold. What does that tell you? Times are getting rough and rougher. God's weekly Sabbath is very important to God, to Christ, to us. God's annual holy days. And again, our very daily life, we need to awake. We need to wake up. We need to really stoke that fire. I will mention one little tidbit from Mr. Wentz, something to ponder. The fifth paragraph down, just as sort of a midpoint. Where he was encouraging us as our minister, as our shepherd, he's encouraging us. Quoting, I encourage each of us to reflect on our present course and ponder how we might improve. How we might improve. I would recommend going back and reviewing this. Personally, I find these as sermons all to themselves. And we thank you, Mr. Wendt, for that work. Mm-hmm. don't allow ourselves to feel good by fitting into the standards of this world. It may seem good, but ultimately, it's going to turn. We've got to be different. We are called by God to leave the old man behind, buried in the new man in Christ. To be looking at how we live each day, how and watch how we live. And by living, I'm talking about how we think, how we speak, how we act. We can't afford to lay down and slumber spiritually. We've already touched on that. We have to keep active, keep doing, keep growing more and more each day to grow that Christ-like behavior and life in our character. In Revelation chapter 18, verse 4, And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Again, we cannot allow God's Spirit to wane or to wax cold. When we think of these things, to wake up and keep walking that Christians walk, that we should be walking. And as we do that, we recognize the type of world we live in. We see it every day around us. But we strive to be more like Christ. In Hebrews chapter 11, another chapter that we need to review, to go back and review, known as the faith chapter. But in Hebrews 11, verse 16, where it talks about, now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he that prepared for them a city. We cannot allow God's love, God's agape love in us. We cannot allow us to be ashamed of that. We're to be looking towards God, our Father and our elder brother, for that time ahead. In Hebrews 12, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Before I go there, just back on the Hebrews 11, verse 34. So pardon me for not going to that one before I turned. Hebrews 11, verse 34 says, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. This is describing some of the people in the faith chapter, where the word waxed talks about they became brave. God is for us. Who can be against us? God has set things in motion, and we're to be part of that. He has called us to be a part of this family. Now we'll go to Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Of all the things that Christ went through for us, and what Christ described that would be coming on this earth, we should be prepared to endure what is brought to us in this world. It's coming. It's happening. You can go to scriptures to rehearse how society will be in the last days. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we can apply these things to us in this world today around us. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. Excuse me just a second. Again, I did that for visual effect for the remaining of the sermon. So you got to enjoy the bubbles for a little while. All right, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, dangerous, perilous. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, selfish, covetous, boasters, proud. Can you recall articles and news events you're hearing that relate to some of these words? Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers. And it continues and continues and continues. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I mean, every day you see where other churches are losing members, they're turning because of events that God says are sin, abominations. But there are churches and people and government agencies and corporations that are accepting these type of rules and laws and standards of acceptance. God's warning us, and they're sobering words for us to consider. We do not like to think of ourselves as one of those whose love is, or has, or will grow cold. That's for us to think about and to meditate on. Yet it is important for us to examine ourselves now to see where we stand. The last days for any of us, as I said before, could be sooner than we think. In the last days for some could be today, tomorrow, next week, whenever. Something to think about. Again, going back to Matthew 24, verse 12. And again, what we read in 2 Timothy, talking about, and because iniquity shall abound, sin shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The good news is that we have help in growing in godly love. You know, the first part of this verse talks about the problem existing because of lawlessness abounding, sin. This requires prayer to seek God's help in obeying his laws. We know that. Studying his word through his Holy Spirit, God gives us wisdom and guidance and direction necessary for us to succeed. But we have to be seeking it, asking for it. And it's also through the Holy Spirit we receive the ability to develop deep, fervent, true love and concern for others. Love of many waxing cold is a very stark contrast to the true love Christ said would characterize his church. What did he tell us? By this shall all men know. Does that sound familiar to you as a verse in God's scriptures? If we do what? Just do what we want each day of our life and not really be concerned, just, you know, eat, drink, and be merry? No, he wants us to obey his commandments. He wants us to use what he is teaching us each day to grow truth, knowledge, and the wisdom that's there for us to take in. If we return to a diligent study of the scriptures, we ask God to restore the spiritual hunger. If we feel like we haven't maintained that hunger for God's word, for his truths, God will answer us. In Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, Christ speaking says, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened." God is giving a directive to us. But we have to do that. We have to be the ones doing that, putting that effort out there. And he's speaking directly to each and every one of us. And we will be uplifted by the hope that has motivated the faithful down through the centuries. These examples that God has recorded for us in his holy scriptures. The love for the truth, staying close to God and stirring up his spirit can help us not to fall into that lawlessness that abounds, as it says, in the end time. And by staying close to God, we won't be dragged down by the world's ways. But it's up to us. Do we really want it? Or as you see here, without that fire, that heat for God's way, it starts to turn cold. It starts to settle into inactivity. Not being effective, but ineffective. God wants us to continue assembling together and considering one another, each of us, in order to stir up that love and good works. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. It says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Verse 25, "not forsaking, not neglecting the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, being there for one another, because we're family. We're concerned. We love each other. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, fellowshipping with God and our family, those on the webcast, those around the world, our family, can help us keep our love from growing cold. There's purpose there. You know, we must have and nurture that compassion to be able to genuinely help others. Not just help ourselves, but help others. By helping others, we're helping ourselves. It may seem too often we learn to shut our eyes and hearts to the needs around us. Not intentionally, but like this wax, it tends to, in certain parts of our life, may tend to start to settle and grow cold. Again, we have to be aware of what and how we are doing through God's way, God's words, our actions. Or we just don't have our priorities in the right order. God should be number one in our life. But if we do happen to see habits and trends that are not becoming of a Christian, of one of God's children, we have a responsibility to seek to reverse that, to correct it. Also to ask God to give us his love, to give us that understanding of seeing these areas in our lives, recognizing them, and for building back a deeper compassion that comes through his Holy Spirit. We know that in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, it talks about God's Holy Spirit being a power, love, and a sound mind. We need to utilize that Spirit, that power, that love, a sound mind each day of growing, preparing for that time coming ahead of us. We need to be able to go that extra mile for one another. We know that the return of Christ is approaching. It's coming. And we also know that Satan is going to start tightening that grip on the world. Whether it's an all-out war in the world, but we know it's an all-out war with God's people. You see the comparison where in Ephesians 6, let's go to Ephesians 6. Where it talks about the armor of God. I won't cover all of the areas here due to time. But in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. In verse 12 of Ephesians 6, it talks about where we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And Satan has his minions who are working for him, through them and for him, to do his bidding. And it's going to be worse in the future when we hear about the beast power, the false prophets. But in Revelation 12, verse 17, where we just read about wrestling against powers, the rulers of darkness. In Revelation 12, verse 17, since the dragon cannot destroy the woman who is taken into the wilderness at the end time for the 3.5 years, verse 17, here we're wrestling, but things are really heating up. It says the dragon was wroth with the woman because God's protecting her. He went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. He's really going to be fired up. We have to make sure that we have the whole armor of God on, as it describes in Ephesians 6. But we need to rehearse that, review that, because do we really put on the whole armor of God, as it says, the whole armor, all, each piece as described? Or are there times that we may feel chafed by one or two of the items, maybe the helmet or the breastplate, or we don't really want to carry the sword? I mean, figuratively speaking, but as it applies in our spiritual life, do you feel uncomfortable by what you read in the different pieces of armor that we're to be utilizing? Just as in our life, hopefully we never feel uncomfortable about God's word being instructing us, correcting us, lovingly telling us to change, to do better. He's wanting us to be prepared. He wants us to be in his family. He's warning us to take heed to ourselves, lest we get caught up and we allow that love to wax cold. I mean, there's so much around us that's being influencing, is influencing the world. But we cannot grow weary. And there must be that emphasis on the critical need to prioritize our spiritual calling first by placing God first in our life. Christ stated, "Watch therefore and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Again, Luke 21, verse 36 is where you would find that. Jesus Christ is placing responsibility on us, the believers, the called out ones. You know, Christ, when speaking about the church in Philadelphia, the Philadelphians, he promised them that since they kept his commandment to persevere, he will keep them from the hour of trial, the great tribulation, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. You find that in Revelation 3, verse 10. But when we were talking about the Laodicean church, that promise was not repeated to them. But he does state that, as he did in Matthew 24, he who endures to the end shall be saved. The love of God is vitally necessary, and for us it's vitally important. In John 15, verses 10 through 11, I won't turn there, I've got it written down, I'll just read it here. John 15, verses 10 and 11. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. In Titus 1, verse 2, I'll just quote it here, says, God is faithful. He does not lie. We know that we can go to his word, and his truth, because we read in John 17, 17, that God's word is truth. In Colossians 3, verse 14, we're told, Colossians 3, verse 14, we're told, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And as you can read that, you can pretty much see that we're not to put on love just to have it wax cold. No, we're to put on love, that love, that heat, that zealous, that zeal, that burning desire that we had talked about earlier, to keep that love flowing and moving. You know, we've been assigned a work to do by God in Jesus Christ. We know that Christ talked about there will be many coming, deception. Many false Christs and false prophets. You can review that in Matthew 24. That would cause people to be deceived. We have to be aware of that. We have to know how to be able to recognize that. He talks about wars. You see that around us today. Rumors of wars. You know, there was an article I received from the Washington Examiner dated June 27th through July 4th. In our hemisphere, United States, Mexico, Central America, South America. Well, there are a lot of these flags that you see in color here. Mexico, Central, South America, Cuba, some of the islands. Those flags relate to China, Iran, Russia. They're having all these agreements in our hemisphere. Years ago, that was unheard of. But look at the number of where they're putting their money to these countries, because a lot of these countries have had issues with the United States and other English-speaking nations. What does that tell you when you're talking about wars and rumors of war? They're getting a foothold right at our back door. And with our southern borders open, what keeps them from coming straight up? There have been discussions of people already from China, from other nations, making their way through the southern border. It's very disturbing when you see that type of information. And there's like a blind eye. A lot of this is not really being addressed by our government. Simply amazing. In the last days, perilous times will come. But one thing I did find interesting was when it was dealing with earthquakes, will also be happening in various places that, and again, for lack of time, I'll just make reference to Acts 16, if you would. You can, on your own time, you can review that. Acts 16, verses 23 through 34, dealing with Paul and Silas. When they were beaten and thrown into jail, and there's an earthquake, and all the cell doors were open. So it got me to thinking, going, wow, during this end time when God's people are being rounded up, accused, and beaten, you know, some it says will be martyred and killed, would this happen? Will God intervene in situations during the end time for his people to open things? It's just a thought. But it was just, you know, something that as I was going through it, I was just going, wow, interesting. But it does say true believers of Jesus Christ will be under constant attack. Satan will be after them. God's people will not find safety in any nation, and confessing loyalty to Christ will bring tribulation on them. But they have to be strong. They have to be willing to go through that for God. But nations are already passing laws against any who declare what God hates, what God calls sin. Ooh. Don't say that in today's world. Laws of God will no longer be known or followed. They're not being followed now. The laws of God will be replaced by laws of men and have been and will continue to be. Again, the love of many will wax cold. The world has a confused definition of good and evil, but they don't know they're confused. They're deceived, but they don't know they're deceived. And where it says many will betray one another and hate one another, you can make reference to these verses where you can go back and compare. Who are they talking about? Who are they? Matthew 24, verses 8 through 10, and verse 13. Matthew 24, verses 8 through 10 and 13. In Mark 13, verses 9 through 13. In Luke 21, verses 12, 16, 17, and 19. Hopefully you got all those. If not, you can see me afterwards. But where it talks about fathers against sons, sons against fathers, mothers against daughters, on and on and on, many will betray. Many. You know, we know mankind is careening. This world is careening toward all the Bible has indicated. These prophecies, these warnings from God are meant for us to be prepared, to review these, to understand them, to get closer to God. Christians are to be strong and bold in times of stress. Just as Joshua, when he was getting ready to go into the promised land, in Joshua 1, verses 6, 7, and 9, Joshua 1, verse 6, 7, and 9, God told him to be strong and of good courage, repeatedly, be strong and of good courage, just as we should be strong and of good courage. I'm going to quote the last paragraph of Mr. Wentz, something to ponder as I close here, where he stated, and I quote, what does Christ say in Matthew 25, verse 13? I've touched on it already, but I'll repeat it here. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. How ready are we for the return of our Lord and Savior? You have to answer that. The conditions in the world are changing, and they're changing quickly. And we know that God's kingdom is closer than ever before. Now is the time to be so doing. Now is the time that we need to be preparing that we're not one of those, as stated as the love of many shall wax cold. Just as you see here, it's waxed cold. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath day. Be safe out there. Hope to see you next Sabbath. Have a good week.